What I'm going to do real briefly is sort of introduce what we've sort of been talking about over the last few weeks, because it does need a bit of an introduction, because it is a little bit confusing. But like I said, we'll get there. So basically, what has happened, this book was written one generation after Jesus Christ was around. So Jesus Christ has died and he rose again. He's met with the disciples, he's gone into heaven, and it's been one generation. And all these Jews are becoming Christians. But at this time, Christianity was sort of like a sect of Judaism, because Jesus was a Jew and all that sort of thing. But Christianity was changing very, very quickly. All these laws, all these rules, all these sort of things were quickly, quickly changing. And the Jewish Jews were calling back the Christian Jews and saying, hey guys, you're forgetting a lot of this stuff. You guys are drifting right away. You're becoming a cult and all that sort of thing. And so the author of this book is writing to them to say that Jesus is superior. Jesus is better than the past. He's better than all those traditions, all those rules. Jesus is better than all that stuff. So everyone say, Jesus is better. Jesus is better. Very good. And so when we get to this passage, we have like this little story that the author talks about. And he talks about this guy called Melchizedek. Now, Melchizedek was sort of like, he was just some random guy that has about two verses in the Old Testament attributed to him. It is not really that significant, apart from this little story that Abraham, before the law was around, before the Jews had priests and all that, that Abraham gave him a tenth of everything he owned. Okay? Gave him a tenth of everything. And then, and so now the author says a couple of attributes that this guy had that is similar to Jesus. So if I was to give this sort of sermon that this guy's doing in this chapter, I would say, think about Superman. And we go, oh, okay, Superman, okay? But this guy's saying, think about Melchizedek, which means absolutely nothing to us because we're not Jewish, okay? So don't stress. He's just telling us about this guy, Melchizedek. And Melchizedek is similar to Jesus. And there's three things that were similar. The first thing is that it says that Melchizedek was called the King of Salem, priest of the Most High God. And so he was called the King of Peace and the King of Righteousness. Okay? And so he's saying Jesus is just like that. He's like the King of good stuff. He's really good. The second thing was that Melchizedek has no genealogy. And a genealogy is like a family tree. And the Jews were really, really big on family trees. Up until about AD 70, all of the Jewish history was in the temple in these family trees. But then the temple burnt down and they lost it all. Okay, but Melchizedek didn't have a genealogy. And so he's saying, well, Melchizedek had no beginning and no end. And that's sort of like God. That God is there from the beginning and he'll be there at the end. He's there forever. Everyone say forever. Very good. We're getting through this good. And then the third thing that the chapter tells us is that Melchizedek didn't need anyone. He was self-sufficient. He was superior. He was better to all the other people. Even Abraham gave him stuff. Okay, so he's saying that he's self-sufficient. And that's what Jesus is. He is self-sufficient. He doesn't need you, but he loves you and he wants you. Jesus doesn't need us to make him look good. Does that make sense? Because God is just always good. He doesn't need us to build him up. Okay. And so what this chapter is trying to teach us, and what it's trying to say, is don't go to priests for your problems, go to Jesus. Because this Melchizedek and all this sort of thing, the author is talking about priests. And so when the Jews had a problem, they would go down to the temple, they'd make all these sacrifices, and that they would only talk to the priest. They never were able to talk to God. Okay? And so what this is saying is, okay, you go to the priest to give them your problems, to get your sin dealt with, to get all this stuff worked out. We're saying, don't bother. Go to Jesus. Jesus will take it all. Okay? Easy. Are you on with me at the moment? Good. Okay. Oh, no. I've got a story to tell. Am I allowed to tell it? The person knows who I am. Yes? Is that a yes? Okay, I'm going to do it anyway. Is that okay? Okay. Okay, so the other night, I went to somebody's house for tea. And we were having tacos. We were going and we were having tacos. And you know how you put them in the oven or you can put them in the microwave? The person who was cooking the meal got the two instructions on the back mixed up, okay? I've done this before. Put up your hand if you've ever made a cooking mistake. You just had to see the Play-Doh I made for fisheye the other week. It was disgusting, wasn't it? It didn't turn out right. Okay, so the tacos were supposed to go in the oven for 7 minutes, and you're supposed to put the tacos in the microwave for 1 minute. So after the tacos were in the microwave for about 7 minutes, there was a small fire. There was a small fire. Okay. But I can't really talk. When I was, I think Sarah and I had just got married, and we were living in the training college. It's this pokey little kitchen, and I was trying to make bacon and eggs. And so, you know, like I was really like trying to do all these things at once. I'm a lot better at it now, but I was all over the place. I didn't know what I was doing, and all of a sudden I needed a spatula, and I couldn't find a good one, so I found some rubber mixer thing, and I went to flip them over, and then I had bacon and eggs and melted rubber. They probably tasted like rubber as well. Okay, but the point is, what I'm trying to say is sometimes we substitute things and it doesn't work out very good. Does that make sense? So instead of we substituted the microwave for the oven and that turned out horrible. I substituted a proper spatula for some rubber mixer and my food turned out horrible. And that's like us in our life sometimes. When stuff starts happening to us, we actually go to substitutes instead of the real thing and our life ends up really, really horrible. For example, let me tell you three stories. The first one was a guy called Brett. And Brett was actually a drug dealer. And I was sitting down with him and having a bit of a talk to him. And he was telling me how, you know, he got addicted to drugs and to alcohol and to partying and to all this sort of stuff. And now his life was horrible. And as I spoke to him, I found out that what he was really after was just a bit of healing, a bit of freedom. And that's how he started taking drugs and alcohol, just to sort of cover up what was going on, just to sort of feel free, just to sort of feel alive again. But it didn't work out for him. Another girl that we met some time ago, she was only a teenager, but she'd been gang raped. Horrible, horrible, horrible sort of stuff. And so she used to cut herself. And when I was a youth worker, I spoke to a counsellor, and she said the two reasons why people cut themselves, one is because the pain is so bad that they feel numb. They can't feel anything. And so they cut themselves so that they can feel some pain, because what's going on in their mind and in their body is just so hard, they need to try and get it out, even though they're feeling nothing. The other reason is that life is so tough and that they feel so horrible and they're hurting so bad that they cut themselves to take the pain, to take their mind off that pain and to substitute it. But it doesn't work. And it gets worse and worse, and she ends up in hospital all the time. And finally, this girl, another girl. Again, she was only about, I think, 11 or 12 when we met her, and she was a tomboy. You know, but the reason why she was a tomboy was because when she was going to primary school, her dad left. So they had a broken family. And she desperately wanted to have a relationship with her dad, but couldn't get it. And so she just wanted friendship from a male. Perfectly innocent. Friendship from a male. So she was a tomboy. But as she got older, the boys didn't want just another boy to hang out with. They wanted a girl. And so she started dressing appropriately for them. When me and Sarah were in training college, after about 6 months, we got a message from her saying, can you pray for me? I'm in court today. So I thought she was in trouble. I thought she'd done something. But we later found out that she got raped because she was looking for something in all the wrong places. She was looking for peace. She was looking for a friendship with a male. But she didn't know where to go. She went to a substitute and life turned out horrible. You see, she looked for peace, but she found destruction. And so often we do the same. It may not be drugs, it may not be alcohol, but it might be. But sometimes we go to family, we go to friends, we go to alcohol, drugs. Sometimes we try to sleep and try to just ignore what's going on. Maybe we try to run away from it. Maybe we gossip and talk about people. Maybe we're always changing. Like when we're at home, we're different to when we're at school, to when we're at work. We're always changing. We act. The one that I had was that I ate. I used to just eat. Whenever something bad happened, I'd just go home, sit in front of the TV and eat. But the problem is, these are substitutes. And they are cheap substitutes. They are fakes. And they do not work. Jesus told a parable. You might know it. It's called The Wise Man Built His House Upon the Rock. Does anyone remember this one? There once was a story, like a song about it. But how Jesus said that two men, exactly the same, were about to build a house. One of them built a house on the sand, and the other one built his house on the rock. When the winds and the ocean and the storms came, the man on the sand, his house collapsed because he didn't have a good foundation. He was building on a substitute for a solid foundation. The wise man built his house on the rock so that when the storms came, he could still stand. What this scripture is saying to us is that Jesus is King, He is forever, and He is sufficient. Jesus is King. Jesus is the best. Like he is what we need. Everything that you can think of that you need in your life, healing, freedom, acceptance, forgiveness, joy, peace, happiness, all that sort of thing. Jesus is saying, I want to give that to you. I want to give that to you. I want you to have a good life. I want you to know me. I want you to have life in all its fullness. But so often we don't do that. We don't go to Jesus. We go to all these cheap substitutes and it only ends in destruction. It gets bad. It gets worse and worse and worse and worse. But there is hope. The second part of that story of Brett, the drug dealer. While I was sitting down with him and talking about how he was desperately looking for a better life, we were talking and he said, look, I agree. He said, I agree. I just want peace. I just want healing. I just want to be free. I want to have a good life. And so I led him to Jesus and I said, do you know what? Give Jesus everything that you have. And so he wrote down on a piece of paper all the bad things that he had done. He confessed all the wrong stuff. He confessed all the things that he was going to instead of God. And he gave it to God. And his life changed. The next day he gave me a call and said he'd been in a car crash. And what had happened was that the car crashed and his friend died leaning on his arm. And he was stuck in this car. The car was a mangled wreck and he couldn't get out. They had to cut him out. But his friend lay there dead on his shoulder, blood running all over this guy, Brett. And this guy, he told me, he said, God was looking out for me. He didn't even have a scratch, not even a bruise. The guy who was right next to him was dead. And the guys who cut him out said, how on earth are you still alive? How did the car not kill you? You should be dead. And this guy gave his life the day before, said, praise God. And he had peace. He was sad. He was really sad and upset that he lost his friend. But he had peace in his heart. So now the question turns to us. What are the substitutes in your life? What are the things that you've been going to instead of God? Because God is here and He is saying, I want you to have a good life. I want you to have life in all its fullness. You don't need those cheap substitutes because they do not work and they only lead to destruction. I'm going to ask everyone just to stand up. Stand up for a moment. And I ask you to close your eyes. And I want you to think about this seriously. What are the substitutes in your life? What are the things in your life that you know are wrong? What are the things in your life that you've been running to, but it's not actually helping you? It's actually making things worse. Have a think about it. Have a think. Now, while everyone still has their eyes shut, if you want to be free, and if you want to find true freedom, true peace, happiness, joy, true life in all its fullness, if that's you this morning, just put up your hand. Don't open your eyes. Just put up your hand so I can see, because I want to pray for you. That's good. Got a few people. You can put them down. Come on, I know there's more. I know there's more. If you want true peace in your life, thank you. See those hands? Thank you. There's already been 8 people. I know there's more. If you want true freedom, if you want true peace. Yep, another one. Another 2. Thank you. Another 2. Thank you. okay, if you put your hand up, or if you want true peace, I'm going to ask you to do something a little bit scary. I'm going to ask you to come and stand here. Just come stand in front of me. And play that song, Before the World Began, You Were on His Mind. Jesus loves you and He cares about you. There's quite a lot of you. Excellent. Good stuff. I know there was more. Don't be shy. Okay. So guys, what I want you to do, I want you to put up your hands like this. And it's a sign of surrender. And if you're in the congregation, you can do this as well. You can put your hands up as well. And this is just praying with our hands. That's all it is. When a robber comes in with a gun and he says, you know, you put your hands up because you're like, okay, I'll do whatever you tell me to do. I'll do whatever you tell me to do. That's all we're saying. And right now, in your own mind, I just want you to pray to God and give Him all that stuff in your life that isn't right. All those substitutes. Tell it to Him and give it to God. Do it right now. Arat Salvos, pray for these guys as we do this. Pray for them. Tell God all your pain. Tell Him all your hurt. Tell Him all your sin, all the stuff that you've done that's not right. Lord Jesus, we thank You that You are sort of like Melchizedek, that You last forever so that we can put our trust in You all the time. We thank You that You are not a cheap substitute. We thank You that You are real and that You change people's lives. I think of my friend Brett, who gave his life to You. Then the next day he was spared in a car crash. His friend died, but he still had peace. And so, Lord, right now I pray that every person here would experience Your peace. Lord, touch them. Fill them with Your love. Give them forgiveness and acceptance. Let them know that You love them and that You care for them. Lord God, thank You for them. And Jesus, right now, I pray that You would come in power and in love. Flood them. Flood them. Let them know that they have found You. Let them know that they know that they know that they know that they are saved. Let them know. Let them know.